Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to greet you today, Father. So I welcome you. And you know, the Bible says how good and how pleasant it is when believers meet together in unity. So all those who, and so we welcome everyone here and welcome everyone who will listen later online. Now, on Thursday, we meet for care group or Bible study, whichever you care to call it. And this Thursday, we met and we did the Jesus' triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. And we learned that he came as a king. He came as the son of David, which to the Jewish people meant Messiah. And he comes as the prophet from Nazareth. Well, we want you all to come to the Bible study. And so if there's anyone else wants to join us, we'd love to see you. Pauline will be leading this week. You know, different people lead. It's not the same person every week. Gwan led last week, and it's Pauline this week. So she'd love to see some new faces. So if anybody's can come at 10 o'clock on Thursday mornings, we'd love to see you. So that's my plug for the care group. So especially this week, we're going to be a bit low in numbers, so if anyone can come, we'd just be so pleased to see you. So let's open this meeting in prayer. Father, we just thank you, we just praise you that we're found in your house today, Father. Father, we thank you that we are the body of Christ. We thank you, Father. And today, Father, we thank you that we call your presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us today, Father. Father, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our strength and you are our Redeemer. And so, Father, we commit this time into your care. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we'll hand over to the music group.
So as we all know, we're celebrating Palm Sunday, and as Jean alluded to, Jesus came into Jerusalem as the king. I was just meditating on that passage this morning, and I was thinking about three groups of people who would be around. One group of people who are so excited that Jesus is coming, so they were like singing Hosanna, singing praise, giving him worship. Then there was this other group of Pharisees and all of them who were like not happy because they asked Jesus to rebuke the other people, and they were worried and concerned that something was going to happen. And then I'm sure there would have been another group of people who were just gathered to see all of these happening. And just like mere spectators, not joining in worship or kind of being suspicious about what might happen and be worried as well. This morning, as we gather to worship God, I want us to think, where are we amongst these three? Who are we amongst these three groups of people? Are we here worshiping God, and where our heart is? Because the song we're going to sing is the heart of worship is where is our heart? Is it delighted in God? Is it only Him? Or are there other things or other cares of the world which are affected Him? We are part of this worship, but it's all about Him. It's all about God, and we are at the periphery of it. Matthew 15 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Do we belong to that group? Or as John 4:22-23 says, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Do we belong to that group of people who would worship God in spirit and in truth? God knows our hearts, and I think we can't hide it. When the music fades, all is stripped away. Will God look through into our hearts and His worship? Because worship is all about Him, and it is all about, and all is for Him. Where is our heart this morning? Let's rise and sing. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. I'll bring you more than a song. It's all about you. We not only worship God, but we also adore Him. Adoration is defined as praising God for who He is. And this adoration sometimes can be expressed in silence, in prayer, sometimes in various actions like kneeling, bowing down. And this morning, we bow our hearts, we lift our hands, and we adore the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
Receive our adoration this morning. You alone deserve all glory, all honor. You deserve all our worship. And Lord, we adore you for who you are and what you've been in our lives. We give you praise. We worship you this morning. Accept our praises. Be enthroned on our praises, we pray. Lord, be glorified. We magnify you. Amen. Please be seated.
Just a few, well, quite a few notices. I usually say there's only a few, but there's quite a few. So after the service today, we're going to have our annual general meeting. We're actually going to have it in here. We're going to pull the chairs into a more informal way. And anyone is welcome to stay and just listen in on that or join in where necessary. If you don't want to be part of that, you can go through to the conservatory and there'll be refreshments there. Then after the AGM, we're going to have a shared fellowship lunch, and you're all welcome to stay to that as well. Good Friday, there will be a walk of witness with the churches together. It will be at 9:30 from the Roman Catholic Church to Christ Church, and that will take about an hour. So it starts off at 9:30 at the Roman Catholic Church. And obviously there won't be any art group on Friday, being as it's Good Friday. And we've already mentioned Thursday care group, so great plug, thank you, Jean. So that's on Thursday at 10 o'clock. Sunday the 31st, it's our Easter Sunday service. Everyone's welcome to come to that, 10:30. Monday the 8th of April, 12:30 till 2, it's our over 50s lunch. Then further on into April, Thursday the 18th, it's the ladies' dinner at the Derby Digger. And we'll be giving you a time for that soon. I realise we haven't given you one, but we're waiting for Sue to book that and get a confirmation for the 18th. Men, you're not left out. Saturday the 20th at 9:30, it's the men's breakfast. And I'll stop there, otherwise you'll get sort of overcome with dates, won't you? Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 118, and it's verses 22 to 29. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And now Paul is going to bring us our second reading.
Thank you, Claire. The reading is in the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 12. I should explain, Esther is the niece of Mordecai. Mordecai had brought her up as his own daughter because her mother and father had died, and he'd brought her up as his own and cared for her. This is the reading and is referred to. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think because you are in the king's house that you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief or deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your family, your father's family, will perish. And who knows but that for such a time you have come to your royal position, for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather all together, all the Jews who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though this is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. Bless God.
Let's continue to worship God as we sing, "Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours."
Yeah.
It's because of Jesus we can come to the Lord in prayer. And we can pray in the name of Jesus. We pray to the Most High God in the name of Jesus. And have you ever thought that it might be for such a time as this that you're a member of Shotgate Baptist Church? But when I look around, you know, I see many new, what I call new faces that have joined this fellowship. There are some of the original fellowship that have stayed faithful and carried on God's work in this place. But have you thought that it's for such a time as this, you're members of Shotgate Baptist Church, to bring in the people and to, you know, be the light of the world to them? So as we come to a time of prayer, you know, we've been singing a lot about the heart of God this morning. I don't know whether that was a theme, but anyway, I know next one is open my eyes, Lord, I want to, you know, want to see your heart again. And I don't know, do you wonder where your heart is? I mean, we think of Valentine and the heart, but I don't know, but I think mine's here. In me, you know, because when I get nervous or anything, that's where I feel it. I don't know. I don't know where people think the heart is, but anyway, that's where I think mine is, in my middle. Because, a heart of a lettuce is in the middle. But anyway, as we come to prayer, we know you all have different things on your heart that you want to pray about, you need to pray about. We welcome prayers out loud in this place, because then we can all say amen to it. So if you feel that you want to speak out, please do so. So as a, you know, as we lead into prayer, go to the Lord. You know, he always hears your heart. He knows your heart. He knows it's the very breath that we breathe is given by God. So he knows all about us. He knows everything. So we can hide nothing from him. So as we come in prayer, we come believing that, you know, he delights to answer our prayer. We come believing that he honours our prayers. So as we come to prayer, let us come with our full hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, O God, that you are the friend of sinners, and we bless you for your love and condescension to save sinners such as us. For this is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power, and neither knows measure nor end.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your own covenant that you have made with us in Christ Jesus. We thank you that you are faithful for your covenant. Lord, for we are sinners and you are holy, that you have come and redeemed us, not by our good works, but we have received it by grace through faith. Lord, and we thank you for your loving kindness towards us in so many ways that often we forget. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you that you always hear our prayers. You know our hearts, Father. And Father, we do thank you that we're in covenant with you, the Most High God, through Jesus. We give you all our praise and all our thanks, Father, for what you've done on that cross for us. We thank you, Father, that we have been redeemed, that we have been cleansed by your precious blood. We just thank you, Father, for every good gift that's ours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. And before we leave, the church that we're praying for this week, for you in your coming week, for your prayers, is Braintree Baptist Church. And it's located in the centre of Braintree. And the minister is, well, I'm not sure how you pronounce this, A-Y-I. So A-I, I don't know. Samson. So his surname's a good Christian, Sir Samson, who came from the West Midlands and has been with the Braintree Baptist Church for a year now. It's very active in the community, using their large hall for Bounce Cafe, with Crafty Cafe every Monday. I suppose that's the same as our arts and crafts. I don't think they're very crafty, but they're crafty on Mondays throughout the year. And on the first Saturday of every month, they have bouncy castle and inflatables. And this gives the minister opportunity to develop links with the community. And around Christmas, the fellowship held a Baptist service. Well, I've been here, well, I think maybe 4 years, I don't know. But I haven't seen a Baptist service yet. So maybe a time will come when we'll have a Baptist in this fellowship. So at the moment, the church is undertaking renovation projects, replacing boilers and toilets and things like that. So they have just two prayer requests. And one is for the finances of the building project, and then for wisdom for the leadership as they seek God's will for the future direction of the church. So if you can, please remember Braintree Baptist Church in your prayers this week. Thank you.
Back to the music room.
One more song before we hear God speak through Polani this morning.
See you. Thank you so much. It's good to see all of us here today worshiping God. Thank you for the musical worship as we glorify the Lord together. Now, I was going to start with an illustration that in God there are no coincidences. Where I read about a church in Brighton who were going through reading the Bible. I don't think they called it G2R, but they were reading the Bible in the public square, sort of out in the public. And they would take turns to come and read. They were open to anyone in the public to come and do the readings. And as they do, those in the political sphere, the local council and so on, they came in and participated, anything with sort of the public in it. They came and participated in that. And it so happened that when they got to that passage where Paul is instructing leaders to not to take advantage of people, the mayor was the one reading that passage. And so people took it to heart when the mayor was squirming and reading the instructions of the Apostle Paul to those who are in leadership. Now, while I was ready with my illustration about the mayor, I had been warned to pay attention when I'm bringing the songs up. I was given a warning, this time pay attention. And when we were, I got lost in wonder, my apologies. By the time I found the words, I think we were one line further and I sort of got mixed up. But at least the next song was open the eyes of my, at least I kept my eyes open there and and I made sure my attention, my apologies again, I got lost, and I eventually got there. Welcome to this Palm Sunday service. And without coincidence with God, when we've been reflecting through the books of the Bible, this week coincides with our thoughts from Esther, from the book of Esther. And in the book of Esther, we find the origins of a feast or a party or a celebration that goes on even today in the Jewish community. The celebration, the Feast of Purim. Celebrating the what we would call salvation or the saving from what would have been a certain extermination of the Jewish people. We find that story in the book of Esther, where a plan had been hatched to exterminate all the Jewish people who were in exile at the time in under the Persian kingdom. And as Paul said, you see, everybody who's sharing this morning have picked from the sermon. When we were having the Bible study on Thursday, Juan asked if the Bible study from Matthew 21 was taking something from the sermon. I put on a brave face knowing that we are reading Esther and not Matthew 21. I knew you'll touch on Matthew 21, but I said, now keep going. But it looks like the Lord had planned it in such a way that Paul, that Jean, that Joseph have touched on that aspect that we are reflecting on this morning, which is great to see that the Lord speaks even from a brief sharing, may not be a sermon, or from a song the Lord speaks to us. And Mordecai says to Esther, in the passage that we read, Esther is an unlikely queen. She becomes queen in an unlikely manner, and she has access to the king. And Mordecai says to Esther, once the plan to exterminate the Jews is known, Mordecai says to Esther, who's now king, who's queen, approach the king and petition with the king that the king puts out word that will save the Jews, that will save the Israelites. And Esther is rather ambivalent. She's not too sure about whether to approach the king or not, with fear. Of course, the king had protocol on how to approach the king. But Esther is in a position of privilege. She is in a position of access. And so the passage in Esther chapter 4 from verse 12 to 17 that we read, Mordecai says to Esther, when the salvation is needed, as it is now, who knows, in case all the life you have lived, all the privilege that you have, all the status that you have, all the opportunity that you have, was for such a time as this. I say amen, Jean. I say amen to your sharing. Was for such a time as this. Who knows that what is needed at this moment, God has set you up. It's by no coincidence. It's not by accident. It didn't just happen that you have the access that you have. Says to Queen Esther, you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I want us to reflect on that for a moment. I want us to reflect that for us as a church, for us as individuals in the church, for us in the community that we live in. Who knows? You have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. You have the access to the neighbor that you have the access to. You have the right family that you have the right that you have. You might wince when we mention family, because there may well be family dynamics. But who knows? You may well be the best person for this family. You may well be the best person for this church. You may well be the right person. You know, when you see a need and you are thinking maybe the need, the answer will come from somewhere else. Mordecai says, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God has built. Esther is picked up from being an orphan, and she is raised by Mordecai. Raised by Mordecai to the point that she's privileged as a queen. As though what they say in psychology, the recruitment process of our life. When you look at your life, the ups and downs, how God has recruited you to this point, how God has built your life to this point. Could it be that this now is the sweet spot of the mission of your life? Could it be that this is the apex, the zenith, the height of your calling? Could it be that this is the moment for you to shine? God has brought you among us, among the people that you live with, God has placed us as a church in this locality, in this community, for us to shine. Could it be that this is the moment, this is the time for us to shine? In the same vein, the book of Esther portrays Esther herself as a sign or as a type of Christ. One that intercedes for others. One that stands in the gap for others. Those that faced extermination, that those that faced death, for all have sinned and they come short of the glory of God, Paul says. Esther, who stands in the gap between life and death for a group of people, may well be a sign of Christ, an illustration, a depiction of Christ. That at the height of her mission was to petition for others. At the height of her work, at the height of her ministry and her mission, was to petition before the king for the salvation of a nation. And as we celebrate Palm Sunday today, as we focus on the Holy Week that is coming, you will notice that when the Gospels record about the life of Christ, the first chapters of each Gospel, they rather take the story in years even. They tell the story over a number of years. We hear about his conception, Jesus' conception. We hear about his birth and his dedication at the temple. Then we hear about him 12 years later. And then we hear about him beginning his ministry. Another what? 15 years later. But when we come to the Holy Week, when Jesus comes into Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 21, we read about the readings we take for Palm Sunday, how he rides on a donkey coming into Jerusalem. The Gospels begin to record in days. They condense his ministry, his work, they condense his biography to within days. What he does when he comes into Jerusalem, what he does in that Holy Week. And when it comes to the crucifixion, they even record it in a matter of hours, what hour it was. And when Jesus was in front of Pilate on his trial after arrest, he said, "This is the reason that I came to the world." Echoing those words in Esther chapter 4. "Who knows, you may have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Jesus says, "This is the apex of my mission. This is the height of my ministry. That I face the cross. That I be the savior of the world. That I go through the cross and the resurrection." We may know Christ in many ways. Some use his name as an exclamation. As an exclamation of surprise. Some use his name as a swear word, so to say. And some, we only use Christ as a dating, you know, BC or before Christ. As a dating reference. But Jesus said, "This is the reason that I came to the world. That I be the savior of the world." We were talking earlier about how Easter, as we come into Easter, there will be bunnies and there will be chocolates and so on shared. But Jesus said, "The reason I came into the world is to be the savior of the world. This is the reason. This is the height of my ministry." Thank God for the chocolates and thank God for all the festivities and all the they close roads and make them the shopping. You walk and do a bit of shopping there. Jesus said, the reason I came to the world, my whole purpose, the height of my ministry is the cross. The height of my ministry is an intercessor, is to be the savior of the world. Matthew chapter 21. I'm glad, Joseph, when you were meditating there, you didn't mention the other bit, otherwise you're going to take the whole sermon. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, some may have stood and watched from a distance and wondered what the spectacle is all about. Some may have cheered because everybody's cheering, I'll join in and cheer. Some may have cheered out of the knowledge of what precisely this event meant. That herein comes the king. Not riding on a horse, but the king of peace. Not riding on a horse of war, but the king of peace. The prince of peace. It says when they brought the donkey, they laid their cloaks or their garments on it for him to sit. And while he was riding into Jerusalem, they took off their cloaks and laid down so that the donkey would walk over with Christ. You may notice that many times in scripture, a cloak is quite an important thing. I don't know how many wardrobes we have now. You get in walk-in wardrobes, a wardrobe of shirts and of trousers. But in those days, you would have your cloak, your one cloak, your one tunic, that one cloth that you are wearing. Maybe you might have a second one if you are that rich enough to have a second one. Generally, one would have just that one cloak, that precious thing that they had. And they would take out and lay it before him. And so I invite us to think about that. Think about what they were laying before him. Think about what they were giving to him, sacrificing for him. Those most important and precious things, those most important areas of their lives. Think about what Esther was sacrificing. She said, if I die, I die. She could have sacrificed her own status. She came to be queen because Queen Vashti had been demoted for not following protocol. Esther says, so be it. Because I have come to the moment of the zenith, the height of my mission, the height of my ministry. How much sacrifice we are prepared to lay before him. How much sacrifice are we prepared to bring to his feet? We used to sing a song. We just sang it. Lord, you have my heart. Will I give him my heart? Will I give him those precious places of my heart? Those aches, those pains, those areas that I do not want to expose to anybody, that I keep hidden. Will I lay my all before him? Will I give him my most precious tunic and say, Lord, ride on this? My fears and my worries, my joys and my celebrations, whatever is the most precious thing to me, will I lay it before him? And they sang, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A reflection of Psalm 118. Verse 25 and 26. Lord, save us. That's Hosanna. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The 118th Psalm is quoted so many times through Scripture, particularly by Christ, even in the Holy Week. And this passage reflects again the Holy Week. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But what does the psalmist say? The stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone. The stone that the builders rejected as they build their lives, as they build their lives and they make themselves secure. Christ, let Christ be the chief cornerstone. The Lord is good and he has made his light to shine on us with bows in hand. And those bows were offerings, offerings of thanksgiving that they brought in hand to the altar. And when the psalmist refers to these, the sacrifices before the altar, reminds us of those clocks that were laid on the donkey for Christ to ride on, that were laid before, and the palm leaves and the tree branches that were laid for Christ to walk over, to ride over, bringing sacrifices before the Lord, bringing sacrifices before Christ. Lord, you have my heart. I will search for yours. That Christ has reached out to us. Here comes the King of glory. If we could remember through the week that we are celebrating the coming of the King of glory, the King of peace, coming into Jerusalem and saying, this is my ultimate for my ministry. This is what I have come for. To be the savior of the world. Will we give him our clocks? Will we come carrying our bows in hand, our worship? Will we come carrying our sacrifices before him? Will he be the cornerstone that the builders rejected, but has become the chief cornerstone? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we reflect on your triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Lord, in that Holy Week leading up to the cross, we pray that you open our eyes, you open our hearts, even as we live in our community. Lord, that we will live in the light and in the life of your salvation. Lord, we pray that as we share your light and your life and your love with our community, as we live it out, Lord, we live the life that demonstrates the salvation through Christ. Let us show the life through the cross of Christ, the life of sacrifice, the life of salvation, the life with the Prince of Peace. We pray and we glorify your name, Lord. Amen. Knowing you, Jesus, is our closing hymn.
Just remember that there are no coincidences. Today we've got Purim and Passover, and Jesus is entering to, what day is it called today? Part of Passover. It's the day Jesus drove into Jerusalem, and it's the day that Purim. Is the same day today. So can I ask you to go home and read the book of Esther? Because you see that it is the deliverance from the death of all the Jews. That's what it was. And we've seen that now. Hamas and Haman are so near, so close there. And we see again today that the Hamas is trying to wipe out the Jews again. You know, the Jewish people. And why are the Jewish people persecuted so much? Because they are the ones that were given this book. They are the ones that are given the word of God. And people don't want to know a God, because if they don't know a God, they can live however they want. So get rid of God. Get rid of we Christians. You know, Christians, I read it out, they're the most persecuted group in this world today. Christians. And you know they said in Germany they came for the Jews, they didn't do anything, and then the churches, they all had to submit. So just read, if you can, read Esther this week. And so we'll close, because we have been saved. A saviour came. Esther was a saviour for the Jews. We've had a saviour. His name is Jesus. And so we thank Jesus that he came to this earth to save us. And so as we close, let's say the grace one to another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Amen.